Richard laughed. Left to their own initiative, the fish wouldn't need any help from us. After all, it took a net to catch them. I'll catch you some more, and they'll come to need you just as much. 2 days later, on a thinly overcast day, after they'd had a big lunch of thick rabbit stew with turnips and onions, along with bread Kara had made, Richard went off to check the fishing lines and to catch some more of the black-nosed dace minnows. After he'd left, Kara picked up their spoons and put them in the bucket of wash water on the counter. "You know," she said, looking back over her shoulder, "I like it here. I really do. But it's starting to make me jumpy." Kaylin scraped the plates off into a wooden bowl with the cooking leavings for the midden heap. "Jumpy?" She brought the plates to the counter. "What do you mean?" "Mother Confessor, this place is nice enough, but it's starting to make me go daft. I am Mord Sith. Dear spirits, I'm starting to name fish in jars." Kara turned back to the bucket and bent to cleaning the spoons with a washcloth. "Don't you think it's about time we convinced Lord Rahl that we need to get back?" Kaylin sighed. She loved their home in the mountains, and she loved the quiet and solitude. Most of all, she treasured the time she and Richard were able to spend together without other people making demands of them. But she also missed the activity of Adendril, the company of people, and the sights of cities and crowds. There was a lot not to like about being in places like that, but there was an excitement about it, too. She'd had a lifetime to become used to the way people didn't always want or understand her help, and forging ahead anyway because she knew it was in their best interest. Richard never had to learn to face that cold indifference and go about his duty despite it. "Of course I do, Kara." Kaylin placed the bowl of scraps on a shelf, reminding herself to empty it later. She wondered if she was to be a mother confessor who forever lived in the woods, away from her people, a people struggling for their liberty. "But you know how Richard feels. He thinks it would be wrong. More than that, he thinks it would be irresponsible to give in to such a wish when reason tells him he must not." Kara's blue eyes flashed with determination. "You are the mother confessor. Break the spell of this place. Tell him that you are needed back there and that you are going to return. What's he going to do? Tie you to a tree? If you leave, he will follow. He will have to return then." Kaylin shook her head emphatically. "No, I can't do that. Not after what he's told us. That's not the kind of thing you do to a person you respect. I may not exactly agree with him, but I understand his reasons and know him well enough to dread that he's right." "But going back doesn't mean he would have to lead our side. You would only be making him follow you back, not making him return to leadership." Kara smirked. "But maybe, when he sees how much he is needed, he will come to his senses." "That's part of the reason he's brought us so far out in the mountains. He fears that if he's near the struggle, or if he goes back, he will see all that's happening and be drawn in. I can't use his feelings for me to force him into such a corner. Even if we did go back and he resisted the temptation to help people fighting for their lives and wasn't drawn into the struggle against the brutality of the Imperial Order, such an overt act of coercion on my part would create an enduring rift between us." Kaylin shook her head again. "This is something he believes too strongly. I won't force him into returning." Kara gestured with the dripping washcloth. "Maybe he doesn't really believe it. Not really. Not deep down inside. Maybe he doesn't want to go back because he doubts himself. Over the Andereth thing. And so he thinks it's just easier for him to stay away." "I don't believe Richard doubts himself in this. Not in this. Not for a second. Not one tiny little bit. I think that if he had any doubt whatsoever, he would return, because that is really the easier path. Staying away is harder, as you and I can attest. But you can leave at any time, Kara, if you feel so strongly about going back. He has no claim on your life. You don't have to stay here if you don't wish to. I am sworn to follow him, no matter what foolish thing he does."
"Foolish?
You follow him because you believe in him, So do I. That's why I could never walk away, forcing him to follow. Kara pressed her lips tight. Her blue eyes lost their fire as she turned away and flopped the cloth back into the bucket of water. And we will be stuck here, condemned to live out our lives in paradise. Kaelin smiled in understanding of Kara's frustration. While she wouldn't try to force Richard into something he was dead set against, that didn't preclude her from trying to change his mind. She drained her teacup and plunked it down on the counter. That would be different.
Maybe not. You know, I've been thinking the same thing. That we need to go back, I mean.
Kara peered over with a suspicious sidelong glance.
So? What do you think we can do to convince him?
Richard is going to be gone for a while. Without him here to bother us, how about we have a bath?
A bath?
Yes, a bath.
I've been thinking about how much I'd like to get cleaned up. I'm tired of looking like a backcountry traveler. I'd like to wash my hair and put on my white Mother Confessor's dress.
Your white Mother Confessor's dress? Kara smiled conspiratorially.
Ah, now that will be the kind of battle a woman is better equipped to fight.
Out of the corner of her eye, Kaelin could see Spirit standing in the bedroom window, looking out at the world, her robes flowing in the wind, her head thrown back, her back arched, her fists at her sides, in defiance of anything that would think to bridle her.
Well, not exactly a battle the way you're thinking, but I believe I can state the case better if I'm dressed properly.
That wouldn't be unfair. I will be putting the issue to him as the Mother Confessor. I believe that in some ways his judgment has been clouded. It's hard to think about anything else when you're worried sick about someone you love.
Kaelin's fists tightened at her sides as she thought about the danger hanging over the Midlands.
He's got to see that all of that is in the past, that I'm healthy now, and that the time has come to return to our duties to our people.
Smirking, Kara swiped back a wisp of her blonde hair.
He will see that and more. If you were in that dress of yours, that's for sure. I want him to see the woman who was strong enough to win against him with a sword. I want him to see that Mother Confessor in the dress, too.
From the corner of her mouth, Kara puffed another strand of hair off her face.
To tell you the truth, I wouldn't mind a bath myself. You know, I think that if I stand beside you in a proper Mord Sith outfit, and my hair is washed, and my braid is done up fresh, and I'm looking properly Mord Sith-like, and I speak my agreement with what you say, Lord Rahl will be all the more convinced that we're right, and inclined to see that the time has come for us to return.
Kaelin set the plates into the bucket of water.
It's settled, then. We've enough time before he comes back.
Richard had made them a small wooden tub, big enough to sit in and have a nice bath. It wasn't big enough to lie back and luxuriate in, but it was still quite the luxury for their mountain home. Kara towed the tub from the corner, leaving drag marks across the dirt floor.
I'll put it in my room. You go first. That way, if he comes back sooner rather than later, you can keep your nosy husband busy and out of my hair while I wash it.
Together, Kaelin and Kara hauled in buckets of water from the nearby spring, heating some in a kettle over a roaring fire. When Kaelin finally sank into the steaming water, she let out a long sigh. The air was chilly, and the hot bath felt all the better for it. She would have liked to linger, but decided not to. She smiled, recalling all the trouble Richard had had with women in bathwater. It was a good thing he wasn't there. Later, after they had their talk, she thought she would ask him to take a bath before bed. She liked the aroma of his sweat. When it was clean sweat. With the knowledge that she would face Richard with her hair washed and sparkling and in her white dress, Kaelin felt more confident about the real possibility of their return than she had in a long time. She dried and brushed her hair by the heat of the fire as Kara boiled some more water. While Kara went in to take her bath, Kaelin went to her room to slip into her dress. Most people feared the dress because they feared the woman who wore it. Richard had always liked her in the dress.
As she tossed the towel on the bed, her eye was caught by the statue in the window. Kaylin fisted her hands at her sides and, standing naked, arched her back and threw her head back, mimicking spirit, letting the feeling of it overcome her, letting herself be that strong spirit, letting it flow through her. For that moment, she was the spirit of the statue. This was a day of change. She could feel it. It seemed a little odd, after being a woodswoman for so long, to be back in her mother confessor's dress, to feel the satiny smooth material against her skin. Mostly, though, the feeling was the comfort of the familiar. As mother confessor, Kaylin felt sure of herself. On a fundamental level, the dress was a form of battle armor. Wearing the dress, Kaylin also felt a sense of importance in that she carried the weight of history of exceptional women who had gone before her. The mother confessor bore a terrible responsibility, but also had the satisfaction of being able to make a real difference for the better in people's lives. Those people depended on her. Kaylin had a job to do, and she had to convince Richard that she needed to do it. They needed him, too. But even if he would not issue orders, he needed to at least willingly return with her. Those fighting for their cause deserved to know the mother confessor was with them, and that she had not lost faith in them or their cause. She had to make Richard see that much of it. Once she was back out in the main room, Kaylin could hear Kara splashing in the tub.
"Need anything, Kara?" she called out.
"No, I'm fine," Kara called from her room.
"This feels so good. I think there's enough dirt in this water to plant potatoes."
Kaylin laughed knowingly. She saw a chipmunk casting about outside the house.
"I'm going to go feed Chippy some apple cores. If you need anything, call out."
Their universal name for all the chipmunks was Chippy. They all answered to it. They knew the name augured well for a handout.
"All right," Kara said from her tub. "If Lord Rawl gets back, though, just kiss him or something to keep him busy. But wait until I'm done before you talk to him. I want to be with you to help you convince him. I want to be sure we make him see the light."
Kaylin smiled.
"I promise."
She plucked an apple core from the wooden bucket of little animal snacks they kept hanging on a piece of twine where the chipmunks couldn't get to them on their own. The squirrels loved apple cores, too. The horses preferred their apples whole.
"Here, Chippy,"
Kaylin called out through the door in the voice she always used with them. She raised the bucket back toward the ceiling and hooked the line to the peg on the wall.
"Chip, chip, chip. You want an apple?"
Outside, Kaylin saw the chipmunk off to the side, foraging through the grass. The chill breeze caressed the long folds of her dress to her legs as she walked. It was almost cold enough to need the fur mantle. The bare branches of the oaks behind the house creaked and groaned as they rubbed together. The pines, reaching toward the sky where the wind was stronger, bowed deeply with some of the gusts. The sun had taken refuge behind a steel-gray overcast that made her white dress all the more striking in the gloom. Near the window where Spirit stood watching out, Kaylin called the chipmunk again. The chipmunks were held spellbound by the soft voice Kaylin used when she talked to them. When he heard her, the furry little striped creature stood on its hind legs for a moment, stiff and still, checking that all was clear, and when he was sure it was safe, scurried to her. Kaylin squatted and rolled the apple core out of her hand onto the ground.
"Here you go, sweetheart," she cooed. "A nice apple for you."
Chippy wasted no time starting in on his treat. Kaylin's cheeks hurt from smiling at the way the chipmunk nibbled his way around the apple core as it rolled along the ground. She rose to her feet, brushing her hands clean as she watched, captivated by the little creature at his feverish work. He suddenly flinched with a squeak and froze. Kaylin looked up. She was staring right into a woman's blue eyes. The woman stood not 10 feet away in a pose of cool scrutiny. Kaylin's throat locked the gasp in her lungs. The woman had seemed to appear in the middle of nowhere, out of nowhere, Icy goose flesh prickled up the backs of Kalin's arms. The woman's long blonde hair cascaded over the shoulders of an exquisite black dress. She was of such shapely beauty, her face of such pure perfection, but especially her eyes were of such intelligent, lucid witnesses to all around her, that she could only be a creature of profound integrity or unspeakable evil. Kalin knew without doubt which it was. This woman made Kalin feel as ugly as a clod of dirt, and instinctively as helpless as a child. She wanted nothing so much as to shrink away. Instead, she stared into the woman's blue eyes for what couldn't have been more than a second or two, but in that span of time an eternity seemed to pass. In those knowing blue eyes flowed some formidable, frightful current of contemplation. Kalin remembered Captain Myford's description of this woman. For the life of her, though, Kalin couldn't just then recall her name. It seemed trivial. What mattered was that this woman was a sister of the dark. Without speaking a word, the woman lifted her hands out a little and turned her palms up, as if humbly offering something. Her hands were empty. Kalin committed to the vault through space necessary to close the distance. She committed to unleashing her power. With her resolution, the act had, in a way, already commenced. But she desperately needed to get closer if it was to be meaningful or effective. As she began to move, to make that reckless leap, the world went white in a bloom of pain. Chapter 21 Richard heard an odd sound that stopped him in his tracks. He felt a thump through the ground and deep in his chest. He thought he'd seen a flash in the treetops, but it had been so quick he wasn't sure. It was the sound, though, as if some great hammer had struck off the top of a mountain that made his blood go cold. The house wasn't far off through the trees. He dropped the string of trout and the jar of minnows and ran. At the edge of the woods where it opened into the meadow, he skidded to a halt. His pounding heart felt as if it had risen up into his throat. Richard saw the two women not far away, in front of the house, one dressed in white and one in black. They were connected by a snaking, undulating, crackling line of milky white light. Nikki's arms were lifted slightly with her hands turned palms up and a little farther apart than the width of her hips. The milky light went from Nikki's chest, across the space between the two women, and pierced Kalin through the heart. The wavering aurora between the two turned blindingly bright. As if twisting in an agony, it was unable to escape. Seeing Kalin trembling with the fury of that lance of light pinning her to the wall, Richard was paralyzed by fear for her, fear he knew all too well from when she had been on the cusp of death. That bolt pierced Nikki's heart, too, connecting the two women. Richard didn't understand the magic Nikki was using, but he instinctively recognized it as profoundly dangerous, not only to Kalin, but to Nikki as well, for she, too, was in pain. That Nikki would put herself at such risk gripped him with dread. Richard knew he had to remain calm and keep his wits about himself if Kalin was to have a chance. He viscerally wanted to do something, to strike Nikki down, but he was certain that it wouldn't be as simple as that. Zed's oft-repeated expression, "Nothing is ever easy," flashed into Richard's mind with sudden and tangible meaning. In a desperate search for answers, everything Richard knew about magic cascaded in a torrent through his mind. None of it told him what to do, but it did tell him what he must not do. Kalin's life hung in the balance. Just then Kara came flying out of the house. She was stark naked. It somehow didn't look all that odd. Richard was accustomed to the shape of her body and her skin-tight leather outfits. Other than the color, this didn't look all that different. She was dripping wet. Her hair was undone, which seemed more outlandishly indecent to him than her naked body. He was used to seeing her with a braid all the time. Kara's fist clutched the red leather rod, her ajeel, as she crouched. The muscles of her legs, arms, and shoulders strained with tension, demanding release. "Kara, no!" Richard cried out. He was already tearing across the meadow as Kara sprang and slammed her ajeel against the side of Nikki's neck. Nikki shrieked in pain that dropped her to her knees. Kaylin cried out in equal pain and crumpled to her knees as well, her movement a close match to Nikki's. Kara seized Nikki's hair in a fist and yanked her head back. Time to die, witch! Nikki was doing nothing to stop Kara. As the Aegil hung only inches from her throat, Richard dove toward the Mord Sith, desperately hoping he wouldn't be too late. Kara's Aegil just grazed Nikki's throat as Richard tackled her around the middle, ramming her backward. The feel of her was briefly surprising. Silky, soft flesh over iron-hard muscle. The impact drove the wind from her when they hit the ground. Kara was so enraged and in such a combative state that she lashed out with her Aegil at Richard, not really realizing it was him, knowing only that she was being prevented from protecting Kaylin. The violent impact of the weapon to the side of Richard's face felt like a blow by an iron bar, followed immediately by a lightning strike. The crack of pain through his skull was momentarily blinding. His ears rang. The jolt took his breath, staggering him, and brought back in a single instant an avalanche of macabre memories. Kara was riveted on the kill, and furious at any interference. Richard regained his senses just in time to seize her wrists and pin her to the ground before she could pounce on Nikki. A Mord Sith was formidable, to be sure, but such a woman was instilled with the ability to counter magic, not muscle. That was why she had been trying to goad Nikki into using her power. Only in that way could she capture the enemy's magic and so overpower her. Kara's writhing, naked body under him hardly registered in Richard's mind. He tasted blood in his mouth. His attention was focused on her Aegil and making sure she couldn't use it on him. His head throbbed with a painful ringing, and he had to fight not only Kara, but encroaching unconsciousness. It was all he could do to hold Kara down. At that moment, the Mord Sith was more of a threat to Kaylin's life than Nikki was. If Nikki intended to kill Kaylin, he was sure she could have already done so. Richard might not have understood specifically what Nikki was doing, but by what he had already seen, he grasped the general nature of it. Blood dripped down onto Kara's bare chest, vivid red against the expanse of her white skin. "Kara, stop!" His jaw worked, if painfully, so he reasoned it wasn't broken. "It's me! Stop! You'll kill Kaylin!" Kara stilled under him, staring up in angry confusion. "What you do to Nikki happens to Kaylin, too!" "You had better listen to him," Nikki said from behind him in that velvety voice of hers. Kara reached up when Richard released her wrists and touched the side of his mouth. "I'm sorry," she whispered, realizing what she had done. Her tone told him she meant it. Richard nodded and then stood, pulling her up by her hand before rounding on Nikki. Nikki stood tall, in that proud and proper posture she had. Her attention and her magic was focused on Kaylin. The calm but violent power from within him had awakened, waiting to be commanded. Richard didn't know how to use it to stop Nikki. He held back, fearing that anything he did would only make Kaylin's peril worse. Kaylin was on her feet too, but once again pinned to the wall of the house by the milky rope of light. Her green eyes were wide with the trembling torment of whatever it was Nikki was doing. Nikki's hands lifted. She laid her palms to her heart over the light. Her back was to Richard, but he could see the light through her, like fire eating through the center of a piece of paper, the incandescent hole expanding outward, appearing to consume her. The twisting flare of light was doing the same thing to Kaylin, seeming to burn through her. Yet Richard could see that she was not being killed by it. She was still breathing, still moving, still alive. Not reacting at all the way a person would if they were really having holes burned through them. With magic, he knew better than to believe his eyes. At the center of Nikki's chest, under her hands, she began to become solid again, reforming where the light had spent itself in glowing rays working out toward the edges of her. The light cut off. Kaylin, her own hands pressed to the wall behind her, sagged in relief as it extinguished, her eyes closing as if it were too much to endure looking at the woman standing before her. Richard was restrained fury. His muscles screamed to be released, The magic within was a coiled viper waiting to strike. He wanted almost more than anything to cut down this woman. The only thing he wanted more was for Kalin to be safe. Nikki smiled pleasantly at Kalin before turning to Richard. Her calm blue eyes momentarily took in his white-knuckled fist on the hilt of his sword.
"Richard, it's been a long time. You look well."
"What have you done?" he growled through gritted teeth. She smiled. It was a smile a mother gave a child, a smile of indulgence. She took a breath, as if recovering from a difficult bit of labor, and lifted a hand to indicate Kalin.
"I have spelled your wife, Richard."
Richard could hear Kara's breath close behind his left shoulder. She was staying out of the way of his sword arm.
"To what end?" he asked. "Why, to capture you, of course."
"What's going to happen to her? What harm have you done?"
"Harm? Why, none. Any harm that comes to her will only be by your hand."
Richard frowned, understanding her, but wishing he were wrong.
"You mean if I hurt you, Kalin will suffer it too?"
Nikki smiled with the same discerning, disarming smile she used to have when she came to give him lessons. He could hardly believe that he used to imagine that she must look like nothing so much as a good spirit in the flesh. Richard could sense the magic crackling around this woman. He had come to know, in most cases, through his own gift, when a person had the gift. What others couldn't see, he saw. He could see it in their eyes, and sometimes sense the aura of it around them. He had rarely met gifted women who made the very air about them sizzle with their power. Worse, though, Nikki was a sister of the dark.
"Yes, and more, much more. You see, we are now linked by a maternity spell."
Odd name for a spell, yes?
"The name, in part, is derived from the spell's nurturing aspects. As in Life-Giver, the way a mother nurtures her child and keeps it alive. That light you saw was an umbilical cord of sorts, an umbilical cord of magic. By bending the nature of this world, it links our lives, no matter the distance between us. Just as I am the daughter of my mother, and nothing could ever change that, so neither can this magic be altered by anyone."
She spoke as an instructor, as she had once spoken to him at the Palace of the Prophets when she had been one of his teachers. She always spoke with a quiet economy of words that he had once thought added an air of nobility to her bearing. Back then, Richard couldn't have imagined coarse words coming from Nikki's mouth. But the words she spoke now were vile. She still moved with an unmatched slow elegance. He had always thought her movements seductive. He now saw them as the sinuous movements of a snake. The magic of his sword thundered through him, screaming to be loosed. The sword's magic had been created specifically to combat what the sword's wielder considered evil. At that moment, Nikki fit the requirement to such an extent that the magic of the sword was close to overpowering him, near to taking command in order to destroy this threat. With the pain from the Ajeel still throbbing in his head, it was a struggle to maintain his control over the power of the sword. Richard could feel the raised gold letters of the word "truth" on the hilt, pressing into his palm. This was a time, perhaps more than any other, that he knew had to be faced with truth, and not his raw wishes. Life and death hung in the balance.
"Richard,"
Kalin said in a level voice. She waited until his eyes met hers.
"Kill her."
She spoke with a quiet authority that demanded obedience. In her white mother confessor's dress, her words carried the unequivocal weight of command.
"Do it. Don't wait another moment. Kill her. Don't think about it. Do it."
Nikki calmly watched to see what he might do. What he would finally decide seemed no more than a matter of curiosity to her. Richard had no need to think or to decide.
"I can't," he said to Kalin. "That would kill you too."
Nikki lifted one eyebrow.
"Very good, Richard, very good."
"Do it!" Kalin shrieked.
Do it now, while you still have the chance.
Keep still, he said in a calm voice. He looked back at Nikki. Let's hear it. She clasped her hands in the way the Sisters of the Light were wont to do. Only she was not a Sister of the Light. There looked to be something deeply felt behind that blue-eyed gaze. But what those feelings could be, he didn't know, and feared to imagine. It was one of those intense gazes that held a world of emotion, everything from longing to hatred. One thing he was sure he saw was a dead serious determination that was more important to her than life itself.
It's like this, Richard. You are to come with me. As long as I live, Kalin will live. If I die, she dies. It's as simple as that.
What else? He demanded.
What else? Nikki blinked. Nothing else.
What if I decide to kill you?
Then I will die. But Kalin will die with me. Our lives are now linked.
That's not what I mean. I mean you must have some purpose. What else will it mean if I decide to kill you? Nikki shrugged.
Nothing. It's up to you to decide. Our lives are in your hands. Should you choose to preserve her life, you will have to come with me.
And what do you intend to do with him? Kalin asked as she edged her way over to Richard's side.
Torture a sham confession out of him so that your gang can put him on some kind of show trial followed by a very public execution?
If anything, Nikki looked surprised, as if such a thought had never occurred to her, and she found it abhorrent.
No, none of that. I intend him no harm, for now, anyway. Eventually, of course, I will most likely have to kill him.
Richard glared. Of course. When Kalin made a move forward, he caught her arm and restrained her. He knew what she intended. He didn't know exactly what would happen if Kalin unleashed her confessor's power on Nikki while they were both linked by the spell, but he had no intention of finding out, since he was sure it could come to no good end. Kalin was far too ready, as far as he was concerned, to forfeit her life to save his.
Just hold on for now, he whispered to her.
Kalin threw her arm out, pointing.
She just admitted she intends to kill you.
Nikki smiled reassuringly.
Don't worry about that for now. If it comes to that, it will not likely be for a long time, perhaps even a lifetime.
And in the meantime, Kalin asked, what plans do you have for him before you discard his life as if it were insignificant?
Insignificant?
Nikki opened her hands in an innocent gesture.
I have no plans. I expect only to take him away.
Richard had thought he understood what was going on, but he was less and less sure with everything Nikki said.
You mean you want to take me away so that I can't fight against the Imperial Order?
Her brow twitched.
If you wish to think of it in those terms, I admit it is true that your time as the leader of the Haran Empire is over, but that is not the point. The point is that everything about your life up until now,
Nikki glanced pointedly at Kalin,
is over.
Her words seemed to chill the air. They surely chilled Richard. What's the rest of it?
He knew there had to be more, something that would make sense of it all. What other terms are there if I want to keep Kalin alive? Well, no one is to follow us, of course. And if we do,
Kalin snapped,
I might follow you and kill you myself, even if it means the end of my own life.
Kalin's green eyes shone with icy resolve as she cast a threatening glare on the woman. Nikki lifted her brows deliberately as she leaned ever so slightly toward Kalin, the way a mother would in cautioning a child.
Then that will be the end of it,
unless Richard stops you from doing such a thing.
That is all part of what he must decide to do. But you make a miscalculation if you think I care one way or the other. I don't, you see. Not at all. What is it you intend me to do? Richard said, pulling Nikki's unsettlingly calm gaze from Caven. What if I get where you're taking me and I don't do as you wish?
You misunderstand, Richard. If you believe that I have some preconceived notion of what it is I wish you to do, I don't. You will do as you wish, I imagine.
As I wish?
Well, naturally you won't be allowed to return to your people.
She tossed her head, flicking back strands of her long blonde hair that the wind had pulled across in front of her blue eyes. Her gaze never left his.
And I suppose if you were to be in some way impossibly and defiantly contrary, then in that case, such would obviously be an answer in and of itself. It would be a shame, of course, but I would then have no use for you. I would kill you.
You would have no further use. You mean the gang would have no further use?
No.
Once again, Nikki looked surprised.
I do not act on behalf of His Excellency.
She tapped her lower lip.
You see, I removed the ring he put through my lip, marking me as his slave. I do this on behalf of myself.
A yet more disturbing thought surfaced. How is it that he can't enter your mind, that he can't control you?
You don't need me to answer that question, Richard Rahl.
It made no sense to him. The bond to the Lord Rahl worked for those loyal to him. He could see no way this could be construed as an act of loyalty. This was unequivocally an act of aggression and against his will. The bond shouldn't work for her. He reasoned that perhaps Chagang was in her mind and she was unaware of it. The thought occurred to him that maybe Chagang was in her mind, and it had driven her insane.
Look, Richard said, feeling like they weren't even speaking the same language. I don't know what you think. Enough talk. We are leaving.
Her blue eyes watched him without anger. It almost seemed to Richard that for Nikki, Kaelin, and Kara were not there.
This doesn't make any sense. You want me to go with you, but you aren't acting on behalf of Chagang. If that's true, then...
I believe I've made it as clear as possible, and quite simple besides. If you wish to be free, you may kill me at any opportunity. If you do, Kaelin will also die. Those are your only two choices. Although I believe I know what you will do, I am in no way certain. Two paths now lie before you. You must take one.
Richard could hear Kara's angry breath behind him. She was a coiled spring ready to strike. Fearing she might do something of irredeemable harm, he lifted his hand just to be sure she knew he meant for her to stay behind him.
Oh, and one additional matter. Should you think to resort to some plot or treachery, or for that matter, refuse to do the simple things I ask of you, through the spell that joins us, I can at any time end Caelan's life. I have but to will it. It is not necessary for me to die. She lives every day from now on only by my grace, and thus yours. I wish her no harm, and have no feelings one way or the other about her life. In fact, if anything, I wish it to be long. She has brought you a measure of happiness, and in return for that, I hope she will not have to forfeit her life, but then you have some influence over that by your behavior.
Nikki cast a deliberate glare over Richard's shoulder to Kara. She then reached out and with her fingers gently wiped blood from his mouth. She finished cleaning his chin with her thumb.
Your Mord Sith has hurt you. I can help you if you wish.
No.
Very well.
She wiped her bloody fingers clean on the skirt of her black dress.
Unless you want to risk other people causing Kaelin's death without your intending it, I suggest you ensure that others don't act without your consent.
Mord Sith are resourceful and determined women. I respect their devotion to duty. However, if your Mord Sith follows us, and my magic will tell me if she does,
Kaelin will die.
And just how will I know Kaelin is all right? We could get a mile away from here, and you could use that magic link to kill her. I would never know.
Nikki's brow creased together. She looked genuinely puzzled. Why would I do that?
A storm of rage and panic pushed his emotions first one way and then the other.
Why are you doing any of this?
She regarded him in silent curiosity for a moment. I have my reasons. I'm sorry, Richard, that you must suffer in this. Making you suffer is not my purpose. I give you my word that I will not harm Kaelin without informing you.
You expect me to believe your word?
I've told you the truth. I have no reason to lie to you. In time, you will come to understand everything better. Kaelin will come to no harm from me as long as I am safe, and you come with me.
For reasons he couldn't fathom, Richard found himself believing her. She seemed dead honest and completely sure of herself, as if she had reasoned it all out 1,000 times. He didn't believe that Nikki was telling him everything. She was making it simple so that he could grasp the important elements and have an easier time deciding what to do. Whatever the rest of it was, it couldn't be as devastating as this much of it. The thought of being taken from Kaelin was agony, but he would do almost anything to save her life. Nikki knew that. The enigma resurfaced. It was somehow linked to this. The spell that protects a person's mind from the Dreamwalker only works for those loyal to me. You can't expect to be safe from Jagang if you do this. It's an act of treachery.
Jagang does not frighten me. Don't fear for my mind, Richard. I'm quite safe from His Excellency. In time, perhaps, you will come to see how wrong you have been in so many things.
You're deceiving yourself, Nikki.
You only see part of it, Richard.
She lifted an eyebrow in a cryptic manner.
At heart, your cause is the cause of the Order. You are too noble a person for it to be otherwise.
I may die at your hands, but I will die hating everything you and the Order stand for.
Richard's fist tightened.
You'll not get what you want, Nikki. Whatever it is, you'll not get it.
She regarded him with great compassion. This is all for the best, Richard.
Nothing he said seemed to hold any sway with her, and he could make no sense of the things she said. The fury inside boiled up. The magic of the sword fought him for control. He could barely contain it.
Do you really expect me to ever come to believe that?
Nikki's blue eyes seemed to be focused somewhere beyond him. Possibly not.
Her gaze fixed on him once more. She put two fingers between her lips as she turned and whistled. In the distance, a horse whinnied and trotted out of the woods.
I have another horse for you, waiting up on the other side of the pass.
Terror clawed at his bones. Kaelin's fingers tightened on his arm. Kyra's hand touched his back. Memories of being captured before and all it meant, all the things he had endured, made his pulse race and his breath come in rapid pulls. He felt trapped. Everything was slipping through his fingers, and there didn't seem to be anything he could do about it. He wanted more than anything to fight, but he couldn't figure how.
He wished it were as simple as striking down his adversary.
He reminded himself that reason, not wishing, was his only chance. He seized the calm center within and used it to quell the rising storm of panic. Nikki stood tall, her shoulders square, her chin up. She looked like someone facing an execution with courage. He realized then that she truly was prepared for whichever way it was to go.
I have given you your choice, Richard. You have no other options. Choose.
There is no choice to make. I'll not allow Kaelin to die.
Of course not.
Nikki's posture eased almost imperceptibly. A small smile of reassurance warmed her eyes.
She will be fine.
The horse slowed from its trot as it approached. When the handsome, dappled mare halted beside her, Nikki took hold of the reins near the bit its gray mane ruffled in the cold breeze. The mare snorted and tossed her head, uneasy before strangers and eager to be away.
But, Richard stammered as Nicky stepped up into the stirrup. But what am I allowed to take?
Nicky swung her leg over the horse's rump and settled into the saddle. She squirmed herself into position and adjusted her shoulders, setting them back. Her black dress and blonde hair stood out in stark relief against the iron sky.
You may bring anything you like, as long as it isn't a person.
She clicked her tongue, urging her horse around to face him.
I suggest you take clothes and such, whatever you wish to have with you. Take all you can carry if you want.
Her voice took on an edge.
Leave that sword of yours, though. You won't be needing it.
She leaned down, her expression for the first time turning cold and threatening.
You are no longer the Seeker, or Lord Rahl, leader of the Daharan Empire, or for that matter, you are no longer the husband of the Mother Confessor. From now on, you are nobody but Richard.
Kara stepped out beside him, a thunderhead of dark fury.
I am Mord Sith. If you think I'm going to allow you to take Lord Rahl, you're crazy. The Mother Confessor has already stated her wishes. My duty above all else is to kill you.
Nicky curled three fingers around the reins, the thumbs holding them tight.
Do as you must. You know the consequences.
Richard held out a restraining arm to prevent Kara from going up after Nicky and dragging her off the horse.
Take easy, he whispered. Time is on our side. As long as we're all still alive, we have the chance to think of something.
The strain of Kara's weight against his arm eased. She reluctantly backed a step.
I have to get some things, Richard said to Nicky, trying to buy that time.
Wait at least until I can get my back together. Nicky laid the reins over and stepped her horse back toward him. She rested her left wrist across the saddle's pommel.
I'm leaving.
With the long, graceful finger of her other hand, she pointed.
You see that pass up there? You'll be with me by the time I'm at the top, and Kaelin will live. If I cross over, and you aren't with me, Kaelin will die. You have my word.
It was all happening too fast. He needed to think of a way to stall.
Then what good will any of this have done you? It will have told me what means more to you.
She sat back up in her saddle.
When you think about it, that is quite a profound question. It is yet to be answered. By the time I get to the top of the pass, I will have the answer.
Nicky rocked her hips in the saddle, urging the horse ahead into a walk.
Don't forget, top of the pass. You have until then to say your goodbyes, pack what you wish to take, then catch up with me if you wish Kaelin to live. Or, if you choose to stay, you have until then to say your goodbyes before she dies. Understand, though, when making your choice, that the first will be as final as the second.
Kaelin struggled to run toward the horse, but Richard clutched her around the waist.
Where are you taking him? She demanded.
Nicky stopped her horse momentarily and gazed down at Kaelin with a look of frightening finality.
Why, into oblivion.
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side one of cassette number 7.